This show is a part of the Quite the Thing Media Podcast Network.
Hey everyone. This is Kim.
And this is Cal. You're listening to Shiny Things. So, I started my new job.
I know, I'm so happy for you.
They gave me flowers on my first day.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you because you minded your manners on your first day and you didn't go to the principal's office and you had a nice time.
I did. I said hi to all my friends. Actually, my old boss was like, I heard you were getting a job here. But like when I opened the door, you should see in his face, he was like, Kelly!
Wow.
No, he was like so excited to see me.
Oh, okay.
It was really funny.
Was he like stunned that, oh my God, she's back?
No, he was so happy.
Well, that's good.
He goes, it must have been because of the recommendation I gave.
Oh, that's good. I'm really happy that it worked out well.
And I've been looking at, I know there's a lot of true crime news, but.
There's a lot.
So I wanted to go funny this week with our little news update.
Okay, that sounds good. We never go funny. Well, yeah, we do.
We like humor. So what we found is there was a guy who had an arrest warrant. He's in Louisiana. He's about 24 years old. They're searching his car. They find all of these handguns and guns in his truck and drug paraphernalia. And then they take him down to the station and they discover that he has a 25 caliber gun stuck up his butt. What did the police say? It was, oh, the smoking gun reported that it was found in his, quote, rear end.
Wow. I would have been like, sir, I'm going to need you to remove that.
Oh, God. And I'm also like,
turn your head and cough.
Squat and cough, sir.
Oh, that's nasty. Why would you even?
I would never.
I mean, if you already have a whole bunch of guns that they're finding, why shove the last one up your ass?
And it was loaded.
Oh, my God. That guy's just asking for trouble.
Right?
What an asshole.
Oh, he is an asshole.
He's got a bright future ahead of him.
Oh, for sure. Because he's going to be the laughingstock of the prison.
They're going to say, you know what? It's not just an exit for him.
No, he's going to be somebody's bitch.
Mm-hmm. And he's pretty, too.
He is very pretty, so. Sucks to be
Jeez.
Him.
That's not good.
No, but it's funnier than, you know, the Gabby Petito.
Yeah.
Although
that's rough.
They need to find that fucker.
That little fucker's probably in the opposite direction of what they're looking for.
They think the last I heard, and this was beginning of the week, was that they think they caught him on a trail cam in a river in Nashville, I think.
Why would there be a trail cam in a river?
Well, and then I'm like, why is he in the woods?
And honestly, there's been a lot of different people that have seen him, hasn't there? But they're all over the country.
Most of them were South Carolina.
Oh.
So, I don't know.
Well, if he was smart, he would have already gone. He would have been out of the country.
Yeah, because he's going to
He's doing a great job eluding the police, but he needs his punishment.
Well, hopefully his parents get punished, too.
His parents should be punished, I think, because I think they know what they did, and I think they helped him.
Well, he flew home on, like, August 27th.
And then they went camping.
Yeah, and then he went back.
Wait a second. So he flew home, and then he flew back and got her van?
That's my understanding.
Don't you tell me that those parents don't know something.
Well, the daughter's basically saying that.
Yeah, she seemed like she was not, like pointing fingers, but she was calling him out a roundabout way. I mean, she probably feels like she's caught.
But if I was her, I'd be like, you know what, dude, you fucked up, and...
Mm-hmm.
Or, if you're not guilty, then why are you running?
Right.
My thing is, so I know it's all alleged, and they did come out with her cause of death was strangulation, and... But it's like, innocent people don't run like this.
Yeah, and you know what? There had to have been issues in their relationship to begin with. You don't just go on a road trip and then just kill your soon-to-be wife and not have anything leading up to it. Like, there had to have been. It couldn't have been all peaches and cream for the amount of time that they were together. It was probably a very turbulent relationship.
If anybody asked me to go on a road trip in don't a van, go. I'd kill them. I know I would. We'd get to probably, like, Ohio. And I'm like, enough's enough.
I need to go home, or I need a flight.
Right, like, you give me a flight home, or this isn't going to end well for you.
So I don't think I could ever do what they were doing, but, I mean, God bless if that's your thing.
Yeah, because even, like, our trips, we're like, no, we want to be in a plane.
Yeah, I don't consider, well, I know we're getting a little off topic with this, but I don't consider vacation a vacation unless it's a week long and you had to fly there. Or you're already on a cruise ship.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to do that.
I'm not going on a cruise ship for a very long time.
I'm never
going
to go on a cruise ship.
I have. I loved it.
I know. Cruises are for some people. And I know too much about...
Don't.
I'm just saying I know too much, and that's why I don't go on cruises.
Don't pop my balloon, Kelly.
I didn't. You can keep going on. Just wash your hands and don't eat the salad from them.
Oh, now you tell me. Oh, I wasn't friends with you then, but okay.
Don't eat the lettuce from the salad bar.
Sometimes there are drawbacks to being friends with you. You know too much.
I do.
It's like, don't kill my joy. I have so little, though. I'm only kidding. Talk about downers. So, I figured since this is October, we're going to continue to stick to the Halloween theme. And I'm going to tell you about the murder of Peter Fabiano. That name sounds familiar, but I know we don't know him because it happened in the...
Well, there's a Fabiano Street in Hudson.
And don't they own that motel? Motor Lodge or something?
Yeah, it's a big name in my county. But it didn't happen in New York, right?
No.
Okay.
So anyway, it happened in the late 40s. And Peter Fabiano was an ex-Marine, and he met a woman named Betty. She was divorced and had two children. Richard was the oldest, and he was in the Navy, so he wasn't living at home. And then she had her 15-year-old daughter, Judy, who was living at home since she was only 15. The two fell in love and married, and they moved to, get this, Kingston, New York. Yep. It's like, what, 30 minutes from here?
Yep.
Peter was actually making his living as a truck driver. So their life went on. 10 years later, they decided to pack it up and head for sunny Los Angeles. And going from a truck driver just seems so weird that when they moved to California, they ended up opening two very successful beauty salons. So, yeah.
That's
strange. It's very odd going from this big, like, strapping trucker to being a owner of a beauty salon, but whatever.
But L.A. is all
run
by beauty, so.
Yeah. So everything seems to be going well for the couple until Halloween night, 1957. The night was filled with nonstop trick-or-treaters knocking on the door over and over and over again. Let's take a small commercial break.
Hey guys, I just wanted to take a moment to gush about Anchor and how easy it is to make a podcast. First off, it's free. If it's free, it's for me. And who doesn't like free stuff? They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. So you can do it on the run. Or if you're bored at lunch, you can fidget with your
editing. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast streaming networks. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. You won't be disappointed.
When it seemed the night was coming to a close, since there weren't any trick-or-treaters for a while, they decided to call it a night and get ready for bed. No sooner did the lights go out did they hear the doorbell ring. I would have been like, son of a bitch!
First off, I don't leave my light on because I don't. It drives me nuts that I got to get the cats back in the house.
Yeah, and you don't want the little baggers at your door?
Well, that, and I'm like, just take the candy. It's not there on the porch.
I think my whole life of being married, we've only had maybe 6 trick-or-treaters. Because where we live, it's so remote.
That's true.
So anyway, this was not a remote area. It's, you know, Los Angeles. So Peter immediately went downstairs to answer the door. He must have really thought it was strange that someone was knocking at the door at such a late hour, but it was Halloween. I would never have opened the door at 11 o'clock at night.
No, unless they, you know, they said police, and I'd be like, all right, put your badge up to the peephole, please.
So basically, the lights are out. That means go away.
Right.
But again, he didn't want the kids to go without their candy since it was their night and they could be ruthless little pricks if they wanted to be.
Oh, that's right. They would egg or TP your house.
So Peter opened the door, and from upstairs, Betty could hear him saying yes, followed by, isn't it a little too late for this sort of thing? Betty then also heard 2 muffled voices. She wasn't able to make out who it was, but she said she could tell from the voices that one was very masculine, while the other sounded like a man impersonating a woman. Suddenly, she and Judy heard a gunshot and then a thud, and then heard screeching tires as a vehicle sped away. They ran downstairs and found Peter laying on his back just inside the door. He had been shot in the chest just below the heart. Betty ran to the neighbor for help. Law enforcement, as well as the ambulance, were on the scene in no time, transported him to the Sunny Valley Hospital, but due to the amount of blood loss he endured, he was pronounced dead from a .38 caliber gunshot wound to the chest.
Damn.
I know. Trick or treat. Investigators began to search the home for evidence, but were unable to find anything. It didn't appear to be an attempted robbery since nothing was stolen. They checked Peter's background to see if he may have been involved in something shady. Mm-hmm. But there really wasn't anything. There was some minor scrapes with the law, but that was like very minor, and it was like 10 years ago, before he even married Betty. So he wasn't involved in anything shady. He didn't have any enemies to speak of. He just ran his business, enjoyed his built-in family, and kept to himself. They began interviewing neighbors, and they came across, I don't know if it was a girl or a boy, but a 15-year-old who came forward saying, oh, it was a he, saw a car speeding out of the neighborhood. Around that same time. But this, he couldn't remember anything else. Peter's wife allegedly sedated herself for several days with some numbing medication. Back then, that stuff was like candy. They would just give it to you.
Oh, yeah, because
Not nowadays.
You used to be able to buy cocaine for medicinal purposes from drugstores.
Could you imagine?
Coca-Cola had it in there.
Oh, I heard that. That's why they had that commercial back in the 50s. It was Coca-Cola hits the spot. 9 full ounces, that's a lot. I can keep going if you want me to.
No, we're good.
Okay. You brat. So I'm assuming she took the pain, the sedation, so she could numb her, the pain of losing her husband. And I get it. I mean,
it's traumatic. You're
going through
too.
A lot of grief, especially like that.
Right.
It wasn't sudden. Just a heart attack or anything. It was a brutal murder. So one minute they're handing out candy and the next the husband's dead. It took them a while to piece together some information Betty was able to provide about the people in her life. And like I said, she was sedated. So, it, you know, they had to piece it together. She wasn't really making a whole bunch of sense. And they took a long shot since Peter was loved by all and thought maybe it was somebody that they knew. But it was, like I said, it was a long shot. So 2 weeks went by before the police eventually had a hunch about a 40-year-old named Joan Rybell. She was a freelance photographer and writer and had gotten a job with the Fabianos at their beauty shop and became very close friends with Betty. So I'm not sure what she did there. I think she just freelanced photography and maybe wrote up ads for newspapers for them, but I don't think she was cutting hair.
Yeah, like,
anything.
You know, when you go through and they have like their portfolios of like the updos and things like
yes.
that.
Yes.
She was probably
doing that stuff. So they became, like I said, she became close friends with them, but very close to Betty, in fact. That when Betty and Peter were having marital problems, so I guess it wasn't all peaches and cream when they got out there. Betty moved in with Joan for a while. And I'm guessing to get some breathing room and away from Peter in hopes of repairing their marriage. But I don't know how you can repair a marriage when you're apart. But anyway, that's just me. So it's been widely speculated that Betty and Joan had been more than friends, if you get my drift.
I was actually wondering that as soon as you mentioned their closeness.
And back then, that was taboo. It was actually against the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that. So it was illegal in the state of California to be in a relationship with the same sex. So allegedly, Peter began to suspect Betty and Joan were getting busy. And he offered Betty to come home and work out their marriage problems, which kind of stands to reason. You can't, like I said, you can't work on your marriage if you're not in the same household. He had one stipulation, though, and that was that Betty couldn't have contact with Joan, and she couldn't even say her name in his presence.
All right, that's a little overkill.
A little ridiculous, but not if they're getting busy.
That's true.
So, who knows? She came back, but you don't know if she came back because she wanted to be with Peter, and because it was just a fling with Joan. Or things weren't working out with Joan and she had no place else to go. So, you don't know. So she went back to her husband and cut ties with Joan. And then the police began to think Joan didn't want to accept Betty's decision. Now, remember, this is all speculation.
Right.
And so Betty didn't want to accept that Joan was no longer hers. And so lover scorned, so to speak. And she was brought into for questioning. She claimed to have no knowledge of Peter's death and went on to declare the Fabianos as two of her closest friends. But the police weren't buying it. And on November 16th, Joan was arrested for Peter's murder. Joan denied having anything to do with it, saying her car didn't even leave the driveway the entire night. And that was the truth that came out of Joan's mouth.
Because they did say that one of the voices they heard was somebody trying to disguise their voice to be a man.
His wife thought it was a man trying to sound like a woman.
Oh.
So, who knows? But you'll see where this comes in. So a neighbor verified her car had been in the driveway all night. Joan had an alibi. Or
no,
did she?
Because why wouldn't she just jump in with the boys?
So, but listen to this. Police were baffled until a woman named Margaret Barrett came forward and told police that Joan's car may have been in her driveway all night, but that's because she borrowed Margaret's car that night of the murder, putting just 37 miles on the meter before returning it. So one might ask themselves, why does she need to use my car when she has one of her own in her driveway? At least I would have.
I'd be like, no, bitch, you're not borrowing my car.
Get the fuck out of here. But anyway, I guess they were nicer back then.
Yeah, that's true.
When Joan was questioned about the car, she simply said she went to the grocery store, that she didn't pull the trigger, and that she didn't deserve to be arrested for murder. So she was like dropping all her cards.
Really? You didn't pull the trigger. What does that mean?
So she's like saying, you know, she could have just left it at that. She didn't have to say, I didn't pull the trigger. So basically, they knew she had something to do with it. So police couldn't hold her without any evidence, even though they had their suspicions. So they had to release her. The LAPD received an anonymous tip about a month later telling them to check a lockbox at the local department store. So when they opened it, they found a .38 caliber, and when they tested it, they found that the same gun was used to kill Peter.
Oh, right, because they can look at the bullets.
Yep. So now they just had to figure out who owned it and who placed it in the lockbox. So after reviewing gun shop sales receipts, they found it was bought by a 43-year-old laboratory technician at the L.A. Children's Hospital named Goldine Pizer. I'm not sure if I'm saying her last name right, but... So police immediately went to her home, where she began crying. Oh, she caved quick. And admitted almost immediately to shooting Peter, and saying it was a relief to finally be able to get it off her chest. But when she said she didn't believe it was her fault, everyone was kind of confused. Bitch, you pulled the trigger, it's your fault. Right.
Cause, effect.
So, Goldine was she was tiny, like almost mousy. Someone that you would least expect of something so horrible. So when she elaborated, the plot became clear to authorities. Goldine said she was put under a spell by her good friend Joan, stating they had been inseparable for years. And I'm thinking that Goldine and Joan were in a taboo relationship, i.e., they were doing the nasty, the illegal nasty, and stated that when they met Betty... When Joan met Betty, she thought maybe Betty was getting bored with mousy Goldine, and she started to hook up with Betty. But when Betty went back to her husband, Joan was pissed and wanted her back, so she used mousy Goldine to do her dirty work to off poor Peter. Goldine said that Joan was constantly talking about this evil, vile man named Peter Fabiano, and that he destroyed anyone that got close to him, and that he abused his wife and needed to be destroyed. So obsessed with the fact that Peter was this evil monster, that and even though Goldine had never met Peter, she actually started to believe the same way Joan did, because Joan kept repeating it over and over and over to her. So she starts believing it. That's brainwashing.
Right.
So Joan gave her money to go to a gun shop in Pasadena on September 21st and buy a gun for protection, quote unquote. Fast forward to Halloween night, Joan picked her up in the borrowed car with lots of pieces of assorted clothing, face masks, makeup, gloves, basically anything to disguise themselves, which basically let them kind of blend in with everyone else since it was Halloween. She also had a paper bag she concealed the gun in. So they arrived at the Fabiano household around 9 o'clock and waited for the lights to go out, which was at 11. And then boom, boom, off goes the lights. You know, George Thorogood and all.
Right.
Goldeen got out of the car, walked to the door, along with the paper bag containing the gun, and rang the doorbell twice before Peter opened the door, and saw Goldeen raise the gun, still in the paper bag, and shot him. She ran back to the car where Joan kissed her and thanked her. Joan then dropped the car back off to Margaret and told Goldeen, "Forget you ever knew me," and walked away.
That bitch. Yeah.
That's hardcore. So then at this point, Goldeen burned all the clothes she was wearing and stored the gun in the department store lockbox. So she and Joan went on trial for the murder of Peter Fabiano, and Goldeen cried during the trial. It's too late for your tears, baby.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like, I would have been singing like a bird if she's like, oh, by the way, peace out.
Yep.
Like, no, 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 sweetheart. That's not how this works.
So she was saying that she truly believed Peter was evil. Goldeen was a passive person who was like putty in Joan's hand. So, obviously, she did whatever she wanted. Goldeen said her only motive was to do whatever pleased Joan. She was easily influenced, impressionable, and trusting. Some may say even stupid.
Very stupid.
At first, Joan pled not guilty, and then she pled guilty by reason of insanity. However, that would change on March 11th, 1958, when they both took a plea deal for second-degree murder and got 5 years to life. That seems so ridiculous. Even 5 years?
I say 5 years would be, well, yeah, 5 years you can start the parole.
That's ridiculous. So, well,
second-degree murder, that's all you get?
I know, and they planned all this.
Yeah.
So, while it can't be confirmed, some say Joan was smiling as she was led out of the courtroom. Goldeen was eventually released from prison and worked at, I don't know what this is, but a professional women's club?
Oh, maybe, you know how guys have the...
Oh, like men's club only? This is a women's club only?
Yeah.
Betcha she was comfortable there. So, anyway, and she died at 83. She lived a long life.
Yes, she did.
Nobody really knows about Joan. There's really not a lot. I couldn't find hardly anything. So she was either did her time and nobody really knew what her release date was, or she died in prison quietly. I have no idea. Maybe she changed her identity.
Oh,
when
like,
she got out.
Remember that? The little girl serial killer.
Yes, changed their identity so nobody knew, you know. So Betty never remarried, and she died in 1999 at the age of 81. So what do you think? Do you think that Betty was in love with Joan?
It sounds like they might have had a thing.
Yeah, you think? I think...
Or Joan had the hots for Betty... And, you know, was trying to convince her.
Yeah, to, you know, stay in a tawdry love affair with me.
Or was Joan...
just obsessed.
Well, and also, did Betty have anything to do with the planning?
That's another good question.
Because that would... Usually, you get some idiot hooked, and then that's when you're like, well, if you just kill her husband... So, but Betty probably walked away scot-free, and she was probably the mastermind.
She could have been, but the story doesn't point that way. It all points towards Betty being the mastermind. But I say, and I never really thought about it, but Betty was probably the one that gave the anonymous tip just to get the cops off of her ass.
I would.
But that it kind of backfired on her.
That's true.
Because she's the one that ends up in jail right along with... Goldeen, the mousy one.
So Joan was in jail, right?
Yeah, they both went to jail.
But Betty didn't ever do time.
Nope.
And so I think she got away. But she probably had some hand in it.
I don't know. Why? Here's my thing. Why was she allowed to take sedatives that made her so doped up that she couldn't even talk to the police?
Exactly. That's...
No, honestly, they don't care if you were, you witnessed a murder or not. You're going in, and they don't care if it was your kid. You're going to be questioned.
Well,
they need to
yeah,
know.
And they'll ride it out. Like, you can sit in there for hours. If you're drunk, they'll let you sober up.
Yep. So, crazy.
Wow. I bet, I have a feeling that Betty had something.
Poor Peter.
I know. Poor guy.
Go on now.
That's what he, well.
We That's what happens when you answer your door on Halloween that late at night.
I never answer my door.
Bitch, my lights are off. That means no candy. I'm done.
Right. No, there is no more candy.
And if there was candy, I already ate it.
Now where I'm saving it up for my desk.
Exactly. But
poor Peter.
But that's what happens, Kelly. People, some people are very easily manipulated by these narcissists. You know, and you don't even know you're being had, basically.
Right.
When you hear something enough, and I'm being serious, I'm being completely serious now. Sometimes when you hear something enough, you begin to believe it. Just like Goldine did.
Right.
That Peter was an evil man. He could have been, he probably was the nicest man ever.
Right. Especially if he had, because you're in the business of people if you have a beauty salon.
Yeah. You're so a people person.
Right. I don't think he, unless he had, but even then, he obviously didn't have any ties to the mob or something. He had
no.
Two weirdos that just.
Wanted him out of the picture because. Betty wanted his, Joan wanted Betty, his woman, and Goldine was probably in a little love affair, even if it was an affair of the heart, with Betty, or with Joan. I'm getting them all confused now. And she just wanted to make Joan happy.
Right, and says, okay, well, if I do this, she can't break up with me, or...
Right, I'm going to do what... And this is what happens in these sick relationships, you know, and it happens all the time. And it's not just women, but I'm going to say a woman will get so beaten down, and not just physically, I mean mentally, by their spouse or by their, you know, person that they're in a relationship with, that they begin to think that, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe I should spend more time with him. Maybe I shouldn't see my family or my friends.
Right.
You know, and it's very sad because they get into these impressionable people's heads and bad things happen. I mean, you're caught in a relationship with somebody that wants to control you. And when you're in a relationship and somebody truly loves you, whether they're your spouse or your partner in life or a friend or anybody like that, if they love you, they're not going to try to control you.
Right. That's why you and I are just like perfect, because we're like, okay,
yeah,
you do you.
I couldn't imagine being in a relationship where I had to ask permission or I was guilted because I wanted to see a friend or spend time with my family. Anybody that's listening, that's not normal behavior.
Right. Especially when they start to try to turn it around on you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that go
And there's
on.
So many different variations of it. Some of it's so mild you don't even consider it, you know, mind, they're playing with your mind. But when you hear something enough, you begin to think it's true.
And then especially if it's coming from the person that you so supposedly love and respect.
And remember this, you can love somebody, but you don't always have to be with that person. Sometimes you can love somebody, but it's just a toxic relationship.
Right. You're just better apart.
But that's all I have for today, Kelly.
Well, that was a lot. And that was crazy. So this week's winner of a copy of The Crazy Is As Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer by John H. Mudgett is Jillian. So congrats, Jillian.
Yay, you're gonna love it.
Find us at patreon.com/shinythingspodcast. Follow us on Instagram at shinythingspodcast. Find us on Facebook. Our group is called Shiny Things Podcast. Twitter at shinythingspod1. You can email us at shinythingspodcast@gmail.com. You can send us snail mail at P.O. Box 299, Stottville, New York, 12172. Please send your listener stories to shinythingspodcast@gmail.com. And use any of our social media to send us show ideas, some love, and even additional details we may have missed. Until next time, thanks for listening.